We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Well, you know, again, a lot going on the immigration front. And a lot of folks were texting in last week asking what specifically did the reconciliation bill add to immigration enforcement? So we had an opportunity to do some research on this, and I think it's important for you to gain a better understanding of what's there. It's an all-encompassing thing, and they're putting funding in almost every silo of immigration enforcement, which is what I liked about Trump 45 when he ran the first time. It was the first time that I had seen a plan, 10 different silos, because a lot of this is interconnected, interrelated, and if you tweak one, you have to tweak others. This is, well, you could tell it was very mindful about what they did in the funding here in this bill. So $46.5 billion for border barriers and related infrastructure, such as cameras and access roads along the border. $6.1 billion for border surveillance technology, including efforts to combat drug trafficking and screen foreign nationals entering the country. A lot of the technology that's deployed at the ports of entry is old technology. It needs to be updated. $5 billion for customs and border protection facilities. $4.1 billion to hire additional CBP personnel, including Border Patrol agents and Office of Field Operations officers at the ports of entry. $2 billion for retention and performance bonuses and signing incentives for CBP personnel. One of the things that Democrats have tried to do is to try and downgrade this as an employment opportunity, make these people miserable so that they can't go out and recruit the numbers necessary. They did the same thing with police. Don't think that this is not coming back as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. $500 million to support state and local law enforcement efforts to track and monitor threats from unmanned aircraft systems. $450 million for Operation Stone Garden to support the cooperation between CBP and state and local law enforcement. Very important. A lot of local law enforcement agencies are willing, able, and capable of assisting ICE. And they're willing to do so, and the federal government's willing to foster that relationship. Now, off the border and into the interior, $45 billion for detention, $29.8 billion for additional immigration and customs enforcement personnel and transportation and related costs for removing illegal aliens, $3.5 billion to the Department of Justice for issuing grants to state and local governments for activities to include locating and apprehending illegal aliens who have committed a crime, conducting investigations to counter gang and criminal activity, and prosecuting illegal alien crime. $3.3 billion to the DOJ for other measures, more judges, more staff, combating drug trafficking, and investigating and prosecuting immigration-related crimes. And an additional $750 million to the Department of Homeland Security for training for all of the additional folks that they bring in as a result of their recruitment opportunities that they have. Now, what has been the response? The response, quite frankly, from the Democrat side is to try and just muck up anything that they can possibly do. The Trump administration obviously recognizes that this is going to be the strategy of Democrats moving forward. The most recent ruling in Trump versus Casa as it relates to a number of the procedural issues that the Supreme Court ruled on is what the Trump administration has decided is to move forward on those cases in court, asking for reconsideration of judgments that have already been awarded by courts and otherwise in order to get it into the appellate process, to get these issues resolved, in order for the appellate courts to rule with the new Supreme Court guidance to handcuff these advocate judges throughout the country. It's a great move on the part of the DOJ. Let's force the issue. Let's get it resolved. Let's stymie these judges that are standing in the way of basically enforcing the law. The law is there. It's simply enforcing it. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, there's been a lot written about, you know, sending some of our illegals that are here that are hardened criminals to not to the country of their origin, because the country of their origin is recalcitrant. They will not take them back. They don't want them, right? That's why they sent them to us. So they want us to be stuck with them. There's always been a provision in immigration law that you could send to a third country, not the country of their origin. It's never been talked about much. Has it been utilized? Yeah, not necessarily to any great extent, but it's been utilized before. And now you have an administration that's willing to do it again, because why should we suffer the ills of a recalcitrant country of origin that doesn't want to take the worst of the worst that they sent here back?
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's really interesting. Maybe we should just shut down those countries from being able to migrate here. And let's just call it a day. And that way we don't have to deal with this any longer. Because this is absolute craziness, what's going on when you let in so many unchecked, no verification, don't know who they are, don't know where they're from, don't know their life history, don't know anything. We just leave them in, and then we have to suffer the financial consequences of all of this. Meanwhile, we're trying to save Social Security, we're trying to save Medicaid, we're trying to save Medicare. We got to get smart. And look, this situation is not going to save those programs. It is going to take the collective effort of every silo, every bucket of money in this country that we can trim in order to save those three programs. Every single one. I love these people in Congress that are critical of folks that talk about this. Oh, well, that's only $700 billion. That's not going to solve that problem. That problem is a multi-trillion dollar problem. Well, but $700 billion may not be a bad start, right? Let's go see what else we can do. Like the local person the other day who was all upset because as a result of the big, beautiful bill passing, it looked like that their tennis court might not be funded by the federal government. I've said this a couple of times already on this show. Why would the federal government be funding a tennis court? That seems to be a local issue to me. I would say the same thing about the state of Louisiana. Why are they funding a tennis court? A singular tennis court? Really? But when, you know, once you get on that train where the federal government, state government is going to start financing and funding everything at a local level, it's hard to get off. I know, I was there. I made those same decisions. We got federal grants. We got state grants. We got it all. And many times I reminded my peers throughout the years of my service, there will be a day of reckoning. And unless we think out of the box and we become more disciplined in the way that we spend, the way that we collect, and so forth, that day of reckoning is going to be a very difficult day for state and local government. That day of reckoning is fast coming. With a $36 trillion debt that we have and growing by the day, it's going to get worse. And it's one of the reasons why I keep talking about immigration. Not because I don't like immigrants, but because we don't need more wards of the state or the federal government. It exacerbates our problem. It makes it absolutely worse. We need to start putting vestiges of economic credentialing in this matrix, or we will never come out from under the debt structure that we have. It's impossible. It's one of those buckets that we have to deal with. Meanwhile, well, we could be the beneficiary of this, and we are already. I mean, you saw how few crossings there are without reformation of immigration. Basically, what that meant was that Democrats didn't want to reform unless there was reform that inured to their ideology. They didn't want enforcement is what they didn't want. They wanted to reform around enforcement. They wanted to be softer. They wanted to there not be any rules. They thought that they could incentivize people to not come here for however. We were going to go and invest all kinds of dollars in these countries, your dollars, and think that we were going to create a construct, a culture, and a landscape overnight that they weren't going to come to the border any longer. Really? A lot of these countries are the most corrupt countries in the world. And we think that we're going to send money there that's going to be appropriately spent? That's pretty rich, coming from a country that we continue to have a problem on setting priorities ourselves. But we're going to go give them a pot of money that's out of the ordinary for them and think that they're going to do the right thing. Meanwhile, back at the farm, right, literally, the weed farm, the Democrats are going off the rails. Why are they going off the rails about this? The Border Patrol, the ICE agents, and all that participated, locals and everything, they had warrants. They had criminal warrants for these people. We had a U.S. congressman showing up wanting to do his oversight. Congressman Salud Carbajal wanted to do his oversight in the middle of this while the peaceful people there protesting were throwing rocks at the immigration vans as they took out over 300 illegals, to include many kids, and some of those that they took out with a record of child molestation on a marijuana farm. We have members of the media defending those that are working there, those that have criminal records, and chastising the federal government for going there, and they didn't even know that they had warrants. We have judges that are trying to say that, you know, to impose all kinds of provisions or conditions upon an arrest by ICE violative of the law. They want more. Why is that? What is going on here that really is rubbing everybody the wrong way, one has to ask. First, it was, well, that's a civil violation. Then you get a criminal warrant, and it's okay to throw rocks at the officers. And Representative Carbajal is talking about this guy is so clueless. He asks about who do I need to talk to about this particular operation. The ICE folks give him a business card and said, this is my business card. You can say you talk to me. And if you contact the Los Angeles field office, they will get you to the right person who is in charge of this particular field operation. What does he do? He gives the business card to the protesters who were throwing rocks at the agents. And a number of agents were injured. He thinks that this is a peaceful protest. He goes on the news and says that it was. He says this was overkill. They had 50 agents there. Well, they were there with warrants to arrest a bunch of people. They arrested over 300. The only reason this turned out to be a shit show was because you and others went on the social networks identifying an operation somewhere, begging people to come out there to protest, and it goes to hell in a handbasket, and you want to blame ICE. And you want to do your oversight at that point in time? That's the time that you choose to do oversight? No, that's not the time. He goes on to say, they look like they were having fun, dressing up like they were in the military. I'm guessing that half of them had ever served. Why is that important to you? Do you hate these people so much that you're now going to start attacking these officers? They don't choose the uniform that they wear. Oh, and by the way, let me remind you, Congressman Carbajal, that's the same uniform that they wore when Joe Biden was the president. Where were you then? Why wasn't that a problem? Where were you then when the Biden administration was bragging about the operations that they were doing, trying to save their political ass at the same time? Where were you? You know where you are? Nowhere to be found. Because that was your party. It's not about the country. It's about beating up on the party. They were dressed the same way in the Biden administration. Not a peep from a single solitary Democrat. Pretty ripe where we are today. And if you don't think that this is not going to come full circle right back to police again, you're sadly mistaken. That's why I read what the bill provides for in funding, because you're going to see a lot more cooperation with state and local and immigration. And guess what? Everybody's going to be thrown into the basket of deplorables all over again. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. We'll be right back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.